Well, can you believe it? Here we are at the end of our series in Esther. And I trust that it's been a blessing to you. We have dug pretty deep. And I don't know about you, but I feel like everything that has been said so far is ready for an amen. I feel like what has happened in the last 9 chapters, God is leading us to a conclusion. And we're going to look at it today. The last chapter of Esther is very small. It's only 3 verses. And you can turn there and put your finger in it. But before we go to Esther this morning, we're going to read some additional scriptures today as well. Do we have Isaiah 1, 13 through 17? All right. Now, I want you to know this morning that what I share in love. And I share not specifically just for this congregation, but there's a sense that I have in regards to where the church is, especially in America. And so I don't want anybody to feel like, oh no, he's got a target focused on my forehead. It's not that this morning. But what I'm going to share, I have felt for some time, and I have sensed the Holy Spirit's leading. And this morning, so I preach not only to us, but also a message that I believe America is ripe for this morning. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. The writer of Isaiah says, your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbath, convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. God is speaking here through the prophet Isaiah. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you, even if you offer many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And all God's people said, amen. Even though that hits pretty hard, doesn't it? Let's look now at Matthew chapter 14, verse 12. John, you're doing great, Jeanette. I love you. You're not Brad. You're my wife, and I love you. She's pinch hitting this morning, so she's doing a great job. Kind of glad you're not Brad. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 14 in our scripture. For some reason, that didn't come out quite right. That's my fault. I'm not sure why that. 32, 3. Let's move on to Matthew chapter 28. Sorry, that was my fault. I'm not sure what happened there. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, you see, has given us a work to do. The verse that I was looking for in Matthew there in chapter 14, and I apologize for the misreference, but Jesus said, if you follow me, if you love me, you will do what I have been doing. There's a sense of doing that accompanies being a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you hear me all the way back? So when we arrive at the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus is again commissioning his disciples to go do something. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to Esther chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Now, in order to save time this morning, I'm going to assume, and it's a dangerous thing to assume, and that is that you are tracking with where we are in the book of Esther. Let me give a brief summary. Mordecai, a Jew, had risen from obscurity to now second in command after dealing with a man by the name of Haman, who manipulated King Xerxes into writing an annihilation proclamation against the Jews. Esther, who was a Jew undercover, became, through a series of events, the queen of the king of Persia, King Xerxes. She disclosed her identity. He realized that the annihilation proclamation included his queen. He realized, the king realized that Mordecai was really on his side, was really backing him because he guarded his life in the case of an attempted assassination. And King Xerxes put it all together and realized that the Jews were God's people working for the benefit of the people of Persia. Remember, clear back, when God promised Abraham that he would be blessed and he would be a blessing to all nations. Here it is. The blessing continues to carry on from the time of Abraham to the time of King Xerxes in Persia to this day. But all the powers of hell and evil will continue to try to stop the blessing of God. Do you hear me? It is not uncommon. We have seen it even just preceding our generation, an annihilation proclamation against God's people, the Jews. And we've seen it repeated over and over and over again in history. But God blesses his people, and he blesses all nations through his people. Today, that includes us as the church. Amen? Woo! Hey, we're blessed. We are blessed. Our closing scripture in Esther now. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout his empire to the distant shores, all his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which God had raised him. Are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Media and Persia? Verse 3. Here's our text this morning. Everything that we've said for the last 9 weeks in the book of Esther comes down to this. And this is, we're bringing it in for a landing this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the text. It's going to speak for itself. I'm going to share some things I believe the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes. Now, we remember the chess piece that we had last week, the queen, and all pieces had bowed down to her, Queen Esther, and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of the Jews. Here's what I want you to do this morning to help me and to help you track along with the message. Let's read this together. Ready? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews. I can't hear you. And held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. Let's read those last three lines again. Because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of the Jews. Our closing scripture this morning points out to us the importance of two things. Number one, God was working behind the scenes the whole time in the book of Esther. Even though the name of God is never mentioned, they don't talk about prayer, they don't talk about going to the temple, they don't talk about worship, God is there the entire time, orchestrating the events of bringing Mordecai and Esther to such a time as this. Through their obedience, God would use them to deliver his people. That truth carries over today. Amen? Aren't you glad that God is working behind the scenes on your behalf and my behalf to accomplish his purpose, to accomplish his will, and to bring about his glory? Amen? Woo! That's exciting. And Dan and Shelley, that may be the only pastor dance that you get today. No, it might. There might be more. They were asking about that this morning. Something about a pastor dance last week. I was just preaching. Just preaching. Okay. God was working behind the scenes the whole time. God used two people in particular. They weren't likely people. They weren't powerful people. They weren't necessarily talented people. But they were upright, moral people, Mordecai and Esther. God used Mordecai and Esther's obedience and commitment to save a nation. Let's look again at Esther 10:3. Because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. A nation was saved from annihilation due to the work of Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai not only advocated for the right of the Jewish people to exist, he advocated for their welfare. Are you tracking with me here? Don't worry about what's going on out there. Listen. What we're doing here is making sure that we are hearing God's word. And we expect guests. We expect that as guests are greeted and as they come into the presence of God, they're going to sense something different here. But we have to be focused as well. Amen? So as we focus, you're not focusing on me, we're focusing on the Word of God. And I know it's difficult because there's so much activity out there. But what happens is, we lose the message. So God's placed us strategically in a beautiful place, but we got to keep focused. Everybody love me? All right. Steve says, yeah. All right. You have an amazing contribution to make to the kingdom of God. An absolutely amazing contribution to make. This contribution is a holy and high calling. It's the most important work that you will ever do in your life. You have a contribution to make to the kingdom of God, to bring about his glory, to bring about his purposes in this world. It's the most important work that you will ever do in your entire life. Mordecai, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of the Jews, accomplished his purpose. This is very heavy on my heart this morning, because what I sense is some of you are going to miss it unless you get serious about your walk. Unless you get serious about what it means to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to miss the joy of what it is to fulfill your God-given purpose for living. God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He cleanses us to do the work of the body of Christ. Look at John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus is praying before God the Father. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. You see, God gave Jesus a particular work to do. It wasn't easy. It required sacrifice. It required Jesus to lay his life down. And at times he even struggled with it, didn't he? He struggled with the cost of the cross was going to be. And he even asked God, "If it be your will to take this cup from me, so be it, but not my will, but yours be done." And I think it is that cost of the cross that we struggle with sometimes. But it is a battle for your soul. And it is a battle for what your energies are going to amount to in this life. Because if we don't get serious about accomplishing the work, we're going to end our lives having missed the joy of being an effective servant for Jesus Christ. Look at John 17, verses 16 through 22. Jesus continues to pray. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He's talking to us about his disciples as he's praying. And he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." Here's the reality. The reality is this: you are the body of Christ. If you have confessed your sins and have asked Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you have asked him to be the Lord of your life, you are the body of Christ in the world today. That means what we are doing right here, right now, what we did before service, was an expression of his body. Now, we don't measure what his body does by what we want to do. We measure what his body ought to be doing and does through Scripture and his life. Amen? So at any time, if my life does not measure up to what his body in the world has done and does, my life needs to change. Amen? It begins to make sense when I realize there is a world dying without him. And I begin to see that my role is not a participant, a spectator, but rather a doer in the work of the kingdom. It means I will be doing the work of Jesus from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night. I hope I'm not preaching too hard this morning. I hope you're getting it, but I don't want you to feel like I'm upset. I'm not upset, I'm just passionate this morning. Because after how many years of ministry? 25 years of ministry. This problem is not getting any better in the church. The problem continues to grow, and that is, and I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, that is, we have given ourselves a pass to serve our own comfort, to serve our own needs, while a world passes by, and we do nothing about it. As they pass, the devil keeps them satisfied with life, and they pass along, and we never do the work that God has called us to do. I'd like us to think about our work today as sanctified, godly commissioned work that accomplishes God's will here on earth. The Lord's Prayer: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's us doing the work of Jesus. I believe there's a real message in this for us this morning. For those of us who have been watered down by a worldly definition of what being a follower of Jesus is, we now call it Christianity. I want to encourage you to think about being a Christian is not a title, but it is a lifelong following of a person, Jesus. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It is a relationship with the living God of the universe. Amen? I believe there's a message in this for us, because even in a good Bible-believing church, unless the Holy Spirit gets in our faces and says, did you hear him? Unless the Holy Spirit gets in our lives and says, I need you to prioritize my work. I need you to see the point. I need you to see the reason that I sent my son to die for this world. You see, I believe that it's possible for us to become experts at worship while at the same time becoming more and more neglectful of the work of the kingdom. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The questions for all of us to chew on this morning: what work are we doing in Jesus' name? What work are you doing in Jesus' name? What work am I doing in Jesus' name? What tangible thing am I doing in the name of the Lord Jesus? What can I look back to this last week and say, in the name of Jesus, it was hard, it was difficult, and I had to pick up my cross and follow him, but this is what I did for him in his name. What ministry are you leading? What mouth are you feeding? Who are you advocating for? What orphan are you clothing? What pipe are you plumbing? For what soul are you pleading? Who are you praying for? You see, I believe that we can be lulled to sleep by our culture of comfort, by our culture of comfort. I believe that we can spend years in a good church where preaching like this happens and the Bible is opened every Sunday, but instead we are distracted and we let time go by without doing what we've been called to do. And then we sit and we wonder why it is that we don't have the fulfillment and the joy and the excitement of Jesus in our life. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden to work the garden. Jesus talked about being a worker in the vineyard of God in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus talked about sending workers into his harvest field in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. You see, there will always be a part of our Christian experience missing until we go to work in the vineyard, in the garden, in the harvest field. The battle against self that we all face here in America is that we have become really good at worship and not so good at getting the work of Jesus done. While work can be worship, worship cannot replace work. 1 Peter 4:10, this was the verse that grabbed a hold of my life when I was 19 years old and changed my life. said each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You are an administrator of God's grace if you use your gifts for his glory. Perhaps another way to get our heads around this idea of holy work is to ask another question. Who are you serving? Who's receiving your time? Who's benefiting from what you do? Who's being shown Jesus by your actions? Who is hearing his words by your words? God used Mordecai's wisdom and experience to be the catalyst in Esther's life to step forward and assume her destiny. As she was struggling a little bit with the reality that this could mean her neck, Mordecai said, "For such a time as this, you have been called." Who knows but that for such a time as this, God will accomplish his will and work through you. Jesus said the two greatest commandments were to love the Lord your God with all of our hearts and to love our neighbor as ourselves. A prayer like that will change your life. I know because I prayed this prayer. I prayed years ago for God to give me a love for people. And he did. He gave me a love for people. He expanded my ability to love beyond my ability to love. And honestly, I still can't get my head around it. It's a powerful prayer that if you'll join with the church, the members of his body who have prayed this prayer, Lord, give me a capacity to love people like you love people. Lord, it will change our lives. It will change our perspectives. It will change how we look at every minute of every life that we live. Give me a love that is beyond me to love and serve others. You see, when you love people, you can't help but serve them. Love and service go hand in hand. To love a child is to care for a child. If you love a child that's got a dirty diaper, you're not just going to say, well, they should have known. Let them sit in that for a while. Maybe next time they'll know. If you love, you'll serve. Amen? Isn't serving fun? Because it's out of love. It's natural. It's what we're created to do. It's how we express God in us. The Bible teaches us we can live one of two ways, and the choice is totally up to us. We can live the path that we choose, or we can live the path of the narrow way that Jesus tells us about. The Bible teaches that the path that we choose is wide, and most people will choose that path. The Bible teaches us that the way of Jesus is a narrow path, and there won't be many that choose it. And my responsibility that keeps me up at night, and that's why I'm so passionate this morning, is I don't want any of you to miss it. This narrow path. All of us are applying our energies and focus towards some kind of goal. Mordecai and Esther set their energies to positively affecting the welfare of the Jews. And we will set our energies to accomplish something too. We all are. We do it naturally. We're like ants. We're going to pick stuff up and move it. We're going to work at stuff. My challenge to you is not to get more busy. Can you hear me all the way back? My challenge to you is to get busy doing the right things. and to be focused on that which Jesus calls us to do. Because the devil will fill your time and the days will go by, they'll fly like lightning past. And you'll look back in years to come, if you don't get this morning, if you don't take this serious from God's Word, you'll look back and you'll say, I don't know where the time went. Did I accomplish anything for Jesus? Well, I hope so. I don't know. I'm going to get a little deeper. Everybody okay? We will set our energies to accomplish something. Comfort, power, financial security, or the welfare of others. We will accomplish something. We're created to be creators. This working for the welfare of others is definitely the road less traveled. Jesus calls it the narrow road. It's the road that we take as we place our trust completely in Him, Jeff. And we've asked Him to save us from our sins, Bill. And we've said, Lord Jesus, I recognize that all of my work and all of my toil doesn't amount to a hill of beans in regards to earning my salvation. My salvation is purchased by solely the blood of Jesus. So I stand today a recipient of His grace, His mercy, and His blood. So why would I want to get on the narrow road? Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Why would you want to get on the narrow road when it's so much work? Well, let me just say it's joyful work. Number two, we're talking about the reality of heaven and hell here. I do believe that there is a heaven, and I do believe there's a hell. I don't know what they look like specifically. We've got indications from Scripture for both. I've never been there. But I believe there's a heaven that we want to gain and a hell that we want to shun. We don't want to go there. We'll talk about that a little bit in our sermon series coming up. Number three, it's the only path to meaning in life, this narrow gate, this narrow way, because it is the truth. So how do we get on it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. That means that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It means that we only come to God through Jesus. Jesus has given all of us a mission. And you may not save an entire nation from annihilation, Joe, but you will be doing exactly what God has called you to do, fulfilling a purpose for which people are learning about Jesus through you as they interact with you every day. But it takes intentionality. It doesn't happen by accident because, oh, the devil's good at keeping us distracted by stealing away our time, watching a series on television or watching and it's not that that stuff is bad, it's just that we can spend all of our time and it's gone and we haven't done what we have been originally created to do. Jesus has given all of us a mission. You may not save an entire nation from annihilation, but you can work in the nursery so that moms and dad, Jeanette and I were counting up how many babies we have here. 6 babies in the church that need a nursery worker. So that mom and dad, and by the way, we expect more babies. Amen? Some of you are saying, not from me, you're not. What I mean is walking through the door, right? All right? As we continue to grow, all right, we expect God to bring babies and children and young adults and seniors. And you know what? May God give us the eyes to be the servant, to be the nursery worker that helps the mom who hasn't been with Jesus for years and is needing time with Jesus, and that baby is needing to build relationships with other adults besides mom. Can you hear me all the way back? So that those trust, those bridges of trust can be built early, so that there is trust in the church and trust with people of integrity, so that that child continues to grow. You see, the church is Christ's body on earth. Somebody needs to be the arms that rock that baby. Amen? Because Jesus loves the little children. Woo! You can work on projects that need attention. You can remove barriers to people hearing the gospel. Some of you are gifted at giving financially. Some of you are gifted at administrations of systems and structures, all to remove barriers to people hearing and learning about Jesus. Amen? God has a work for you to do that will help others understand God's love. Amen, Rod? Woo! This work will not save you, and it will not add to your salvation in any way. But what you'll be doing is doing the work that you've been created to do, the work of Jesus. Worship is wonderful, necessary and good. But being in this room, hearing a sermon, is not doing the work. Can you hear me all the way back? As good as this isn't the work. Tracy, this isn't the work. Sometimes I wonder why in the world we call this service, a morning worship service. We're not serving unless we have the right mindset to be ready at the door when people walk in. We're not serving unless we have our brains around the fact that when people come in, they don't know what direction is where. They don't know where the restrooms are if they're new. You see, it's going to take you and me to think differently about what this is for us to grow. This is about you and me being the body of Jesus. Amen? And the body will do anything to make sure that people come to know Jesus as their Savior. Can you hear me? Pleasures will be forsaken. Desires about personal preferences, about stuff that happens in a worship service, will be laid down, because what really matters, and all that matters, is that people know that Jesus loves them. Amen? It means that we will turn ourselves inside out so that people will know who Jesus is through our actions, through our words, through our attitudes. I wonder what an amazing bunch like Living Well will continue to do with that idea, because it's part of our DNA. It always has been. Just kind of bringing it back around. It's who we are. We've done good, but I believe we can do better. You see, there's no way to fulfill this work, this awesome mission of Jesus, by just going to church. Buckle your seatbelts, because this is biblical. Saved people serve people. See, we can punch the time clock and then sit in the break room and talk about how hard the work is and think of all kinds of reasons that it can't be done. or we punch in and never punch out and go to do the work and get it done until Jesus comes. Amen. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I don't know if that bothers you like it bothers me or not. This is Jesus talking. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. I think the above verse is telling us that we can be so focused on being spiritual that we miss the very practical work of doing the work of Jesus. Janet and I were on our way back from team day yesterday, and I was thinking about the fact that there's a lot in the Gospels about, you know, the disciples describe the work of Jesus with the people a lot, but they don't say much about Jesus worshiping. They don't, you know, they're not walking along the road and he's talking with Jesus, and the disciples aren't hearing Jesus say things like, man, that priest really kicked it out of the park today. Home run, bases loaded. That worship music was awesome, wasn't it, guys? It's not in there. Not like that. Now, Jesus participated in the feasts and the celebrations of the Jewish festivals, but we don't have this idea that it was about an experience of worship, but rather we have this idea from watching Jesus and hearing the disciples record about what he did. It's about the work. It was about what he did to seek and save the lost. Amen? The reality is that many in the church, and let's say this is for everybody. I'm not trying to target anybody. I'm just saying in the world today, the reality is that many in the church are trying to live out working the mission by going to church, and you can't get it done. You can't get the mission of Jesus done by just going to church. As good as going to church is. And it needs to happen. Don't get me wrong. We need to be in church. And it needs to be the priority. Because if we get it wrong and we get away from Jesus it happens in my life. Even a week or two. And my perspective starts to shift. And I start to trade the world's values for Jesus' values. And pretty soon I'm serving myself again. Can you hear me all the way back? So I need a refresher course every week, at least, with the body of Christ. But as we know, the mission of Jesus is holy work. It takes work. It takes work to apply the benefit of Jesus to others. It may not be swinging a hammer. It may look more like typing on a keyboard or vacuuming a carpet or taking out the trash or fixing a sandwich. Or growing a garden, or unplugging a toilet, or teaching a lesson, or having a conversation, or fixing a handrail, or baking cookies. An orphanage cannot run without work being done. Honey and Amber were with us, what a blessing, in their family, over a month ago now. And one of the things I learned about Honey is, because just I got to spend a lot of time with him, is that this boy knows how to work. And the work of the kingdom is gritty sometimes. It's hard work. But what I learned from him is that all work that God has us to do for him is sanctified work. And poor Honi was in the hole over here, carrying bricks and throwing bricks down into the hole where we took down the chimney. It's a whole nother story. But Honi took the worst job, the dirtiest job, the darkest job, the heaviest job. He volunteered for it. And I learned from that. And I learned that if he's doing that here, how hard's he working back home too? He and Amber and their family. Since the time of microphones and large sports stadiums and Billy Graham and Billy Sunday started filling them, some really good things have happened. People have been saved. They've started their journey with Christ. But some unintended negative effects have happened too. And that is, we have adopted a philosophy that translates into being a follower of Jesus Christ means that if I go and sit in a service, I'm being a Christian. But that's inaccurate. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is more about being his body, which accomplishes the work of God. Concerts and even preachers can revive emotions, but what we need is not just another event where people feel better about the idea of being a follower of Jesus. What is needed is a true revival of true service through the body of Christ. A revival of service is where we begin to put the needs of others ahead of our own comfort and begin to serve others as though their lives depended on it. Because they do. We have a few ministry posts available for people who will look at ministry not as something that I'll do if I don't have anything better to do. We have a few ministry posts that are available for those who will prioritize the work of Jesus Christ in the church. It means I'll be there, I'll do the work, you can count on me. If for some reason I can't be there, I'll make sure the work continues to go even without me. I would love to talk with you about how to get her done. Amen. I invite you this morning to do something that all the prophets, Jesus, and all the apostles did, and every effective, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ has done throughout time. And that is, do not deny the pain and suffering as a part of daily life. Rather, prioritize missional living over comfort living. Let's lay our lives down for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Way before Jesus, Esther chapter 10, verse 3, Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to the king Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of the Jews. He risked his life, followed the instructions of the master. You see, he had faith that God was ordering his steps. Ushers, if you would begin to distribute the elements of communion, please. I want you to know that everyone is welcome to receive communion this morning. It represents his body. It represents his blood given for us. The Bible says, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. And though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. The Great Commission begins with a C-O-M. I had to look that up. Thank you. Com. C-O-M. Or co, if you want to look at it that way. The Great Commission. It means that we go with him. and he goes with us. I believe that God has us at a critical threshold. We're ready to grow again. Look at what God has given us as a facility. Wow. Look at our tech team. Our live stream group that joins us nearly every week. Thank you for joining us this morning again. I put your tithe check in the offering. You know who you are. Actually, a couple of you. Thank you. We're at a particular threshold this morning. What we are looking at is a line that the Jews looked at. It was the line between where they were and the line that God had for them, the promised land. It wasn't a land that was going to be an easy place to live, but it was a place that would require strong faith, strong commitment, and strong obedience. It was the land of spiritual maturity, Canaan. I believe that's the next step for us as we begin to think differently about what we're doing here. And I want to encourage you to think, at least for the next 5 weeks, as we do something a little different. I want you to think in terms that this, our time on Sunday mornings, is not about us. It's about those who aren't here yet. That means everything that I do will be for someone who's not here yet. It means I'll be at the door waiting for them to arrive. It means I'll be welcoming them. It means preceding that, I'll be giving them an invitation personally to attend with me. You see, I think until we get that, God is going to keep us in this chapter. The devil's happy about it because we've hit this little milestone, and the devil says, you know, you got a nice facility now. I've let that go. I've let that slide. You got a really nice facility. I admit it. God says, now what are you going to do with it? Amen. Dad and I were talking the other day after, you know, we had a chance the other night to get together with a few and just we prayed over Honey and his family and Amber and the kids as they were getting ready to get on the plane to go back to Mexico. And we're talking about the awesome group that we have here in the church. And we do. We have an awesome group of people. Now, what's God want to do with us? Amen. Look at this. It's a symbol of his body. It's not his body. It's a symbol, the bread broken for us. This symbolizes who Jesus is. It is the work of God for us, in us, and through us. Let's receive and be thankful. I'm excited. I think about that we can make a difference together. As we have, so will we continue, but we'll make an even greater difference for the Lord Jesus. Even within our short time span of being a church, I can think of people already who have come to know Jesus here, have lived a little while, and have went on to be with Jesus. And I think, God, thank you. Thank you for giving us a chance to be a part of someone like Margaret Atherton's life. That, Lord, you called us into existence to just share who Jesus is, to share your body, to share your life through us, the church, his body. He called us into existence for a purpose and a reason. Let's not miss it by being distracted. Amen. Let's live our lives as though the people who are going to hell without Jesus matter to us like they matter to the heart of God. We have the opportunity for the next 5 weeks to see things differently, to allow the time that we're together to resemble more of a workshop than a worship experience, because we're working for Jesus to accomplish his work in us. It's going to twist us a little bit, because this time is so precious to us. It's so personal to us. It's where we catch up with our friends. It's how we make it through life. It helps our emotions. It helps our minds. But we're going to have to get that done another time. Because if God chooses to send us new people the next 5 weeks, everything we do needs to be about them. Amen. I haven't heard the radio announcements. I haven't heard of one of them, but I've heard a lot of people say, I've heard you on the radio. The word is getting out. But let me tell you this. I also believe that we can do all the promotion and all of the publicity and all of the work that's impersonal, putting it on the radio and putting it on Facebook and throwing it out there and saying, you know, I'd like to invite you to come, but unless it is preceded by a personal relationship, all that promotion probably won't get us anywhere for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to invite you to do is to begin to pray hard this week about how God is leading you to be a worker in his vineyard, to make a real difference in the lives of people who aren't even here yet. Amen. You know, the church prayed for you before you were even a Christian. The church prayed for you before you even showed up. The church prayed for you, Jace, before you came to Bible school. The church prayed for you, Todd, before you could walk. The church prayed for you, Carol. Someone did the work before you came along. The previous generation laid their lives down so that you and I can know Jesus. It would be absurd for our generation to get this far and say, okay, the work's done. Now that I'm in, it's all good. No. It's time for you and me to lay our lives down in the same way that the generations who have come before us have, to make sure that the next generation, the people who aren't even here yet, know Jesus. A symbol of His blood, which was shed for us, reminds us that Jesus stopped at nothing to make sure that we could be saved. Let's receive and be thankful. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my tells us, as Jesus was talking to His disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, the othermost parts of the earth. What I'm saying is simply this morning. If this seems like something that is bigger than you, it is. And I want to invite you to think, the reality is, you don't have to do this in your own strength, but it requires a simple yes and a laying of our lives down and an invitation to God to fill us with His power. Just like I have been amazed for the last 30 years of the love that God has given me for people when I know it wasn't in me. If you'll pray that prayer, Lord Jesus, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Help me be Your witness to Jerusalem, Judea, and every part of the world that I live in. Let's sing. Temptation.
comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
By singing the doxology. What I'd like to invite you to do, there's some flyers there on the back table. If you would take them, don't put them up. Don't just stick them places, but give them away in personal dialogue and personal conversation. But don't do it without prayer. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in His power. Amen. And you know what? We're just going to have faith that God is going to do what He wants to do in and through us at the point that we are ready to be servants. Amen. You see, I believe that God will give us new baby Christians when the nursery is ready. Amen.
Amen.
And that means parents. That means adult Christians, mature Christians. It means we got work to do, building to do. We've got readiness to make sure that we're ready for the new ones to come. Amen? Yep. Let's sing as we close. Praise God.